Look at your neighbor, say, get with it.
God's about to speak.
You need ears to hear. Eyes to see. And a heart to perceive what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and to me. Amen. We're going to Isaiah. And I don't know if I'll land in the corner or not, but I doubt it today. Because it's Isaiah 49. I heard it loud and clear this morning. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 49. And I know some of you have been wearing spiritual duct tape, but it's also sometimes to very much in the obedience to use your mouth. Because if you don't use your mouth, there'll be no construction. And I taught on this a while back, but I want to take it a little bit to a wake-up time about your mouth and how important it is. Verse 1, listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. So that should give you a clue as to how familiar our God is with you and me. Okay? Sometimes we underestimate. And so I'm going to switch over to the Amplified because I want you to kind of go a little deeper. Listen to me, O isles and coastlands. Some of you need to go into the water a lot deeper than you've been able. That's Kim's translation. Listen to me, O isles and coastlands, and hearken, you people from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he has named my name. That's also your nature. Okay? Verse 2. Amplified. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, as he hid me and made me a polished arrow, in his quiver has he kept me close and concealed me. Amplified. He has what?
Concealed.
Why does he need to conceal us?
Till he's ready to.
Yeah, he's ready to use that arrow. And some of you are saying to the Lord, well, I'm getting a little older here, and I haven't been where I believe God has predestined me to get to.
Amen.
You see, barking at the Lord is not a good idea. I've done it. And then I had to change my mind because he said I sounded like a dog. Even though he cares about his animal kingdom, he doesn't want us to act like one. Verse 3, Amplified. And the Lord said to me, you are my servant Israel. That's a prince with God. You who strive with God and with men and prevail, in whom I will be glorified. In whom I will be glorified. So God is looking for glory coming through you, when he uses you as an arrow or a polished arrow that he's already prepared in the due season. It's in the due season. You've got to remember there's a season for each of us. Now, some people would like to be used yesterday and they have not been prepared. How many of you have ever tried to put in a cake in the oven and forgot to put the baking soda? Or the baking powder. Okay? What do you get?
Black.
Pancake. flat. Why? There's a missing ingredient. You can be a polished arrow and you can be out there shouting and screaming and creating what?
Turmoil.
Yeah. Instead of what you should be doing is waiting when he's prepared you. Verse 4. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing. Notice it's an enemy and it's a feeling. So it's part of the soul. And in empty futility. Yet surely my right is with the Lord. And my recompense is with God. And now, says the Lord, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him. Who's Jacob? But he's also a trickster, right? That's the man of flesh. To bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him and not swept away. For I am honorable in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. Now, when your God has become your strength, you're no longer depending on
yourself.
Right. And what is the biggest issue when we start seeing that we can't complete the mission we think we are created for?
We get frustrated.
Ah, no kidding. And you get angry. Because I can't do what I want to do. That's also about control. Yeah, and it can be pretty tricky, and it seems right that you should be able to function. Did anybody forget that he put St. Paul in prison? Why did he put St. Paul in prison? Well, he was a mighty polished arrow. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
And he had a valuable piece of information with a lot of revelation that he needed to give out to the church. And he was going on his two little feet, traveling around the countryside, visiting one church after another. And if he hadn't written any letters, would we have them today? If you have a dream and God gives you that dream and you get up in the morning and that dream is vivid in your heart and you don't write it down, will your ancestors and your inheritance be known to anyone else? Why? Because you think it's just for you. Your life is not your own. He prepared you, and he called you before you were born. He prepared you for such a time as this. It's not an accident. And sometimes we underestimate because we think we have no value to those that are coming after us. I can tell you that if it wasn't for St. Paul's letters, I wouldn't be where I am today. Why? Because the knowledge that was in him was to be passed on. Now close your eyes for a moment. Say, all of what I've experienced,
all of what I've experienced,
if it's not written somewhere,
if it's not written somewhere,
will be wasted.
Will be wasted.
So if I keep a chart,
so keep a chart
of the important things of my life,
somebody down the road
might be able to pick it up. And what I've lived through
will give them courage
when they're falling apart.
Could be
great-grandchildren.
Could be child.
Could be a friend.
Or a believer.
In another generation.
It's up to God.
When he decides to use me. What you and I have deposited in other hearts may not blossom right away. What God has prepared in me and you may not blossom today. Amen? Verse 6, he says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of the judgments of Israel. I will also give you for a light to the nations, and my salvation may extend to the ends of the earth." You say, well, now that's for them. But I'm trying to tell you, we're quite a ways from Jerusalem. This was written over 2,000 years ago. And it's a promise to Israel, but it's also we, as spiritual Israel, that have been separated and set aside for such a time as this. I know all that. But I'm also trying to tell you that all 12 of Jacob's sons became a tribe, and God's going to use all of them for his glory. And you say, well, now you're going into another level. Yes, but that's part of what this message is all about. It's a personal message to you and me, but it's also an incredible truth that will hopefully shake your tree. Now, how many of you have had young people that have tattoos on them? Stop shaking your head. See, don't go like that, because it just might be God that gave him an example. Are you ready? I'm about to blow your brains out.
Oh, I think the corner's getting ready.
No. Verse 15. "And the Lord answered, 'Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb?' Yes, they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have indelibly imprinted and tattooed a picture of you on the palm of each of my hands."
If God can tattoo your picture on his hand, what is the issue when you see people doing normal things that Father has already done? I'm not saying that you should have perverted stuff, but I am saying let God be God. Don't limit him. Don't put legalism on them to destroy them. Several months ago, I'm in my office, I'm meeting with someone, and I'm excited because we're having quite a discussion. And in that discussion, this individual was, let's say, questioning if they had done something godly or ungodly. And so I had quite a discussion with them about different rules and regulations that are part of the old pattern of the old covenant, and there was a greater pattern of obedience. This young person had gone to the tattoo parlor and brought one of these. And they literally had this duplicated and put feel the tears welling up in my eyes. Would you have that kind of courage? That's awesome. It's recorded. So what am I trying to say? Is he an arrow being revealed and hidden for the moment? But what is it saying to the rest of the world? What is it saying to those that are looking at that particular emblem of the earth with the cross and the Star of David? How many Jews had to wear it on their shoulder and got slaughtered? What am I saying to you? A picture of me has been tattooed on my father's hand. Close your eyes right now. Say, a picture of me, has been tattooed on my father's hand. Will I get upset? Or will I trust that he sees that I am an arrow ready to be used when he decides to pull me out of the quiver and send me out wherever he needs me. I'll trust him, Lord.
I'll trust him, Lord.
And I'll rejoice.
The legalism has to go.
No more condemning.
No more criticizing.
From a legal point of view.
Because even Father stepped out of the box.
And got a tattoo. Of me. Am I out of the corner? Are you debating?
I'm looking for a scripture.
It's written in the Amplified.
There's also one in Leviticus that says that the body will not be tattooed. So that's not the exact.
I understand, but that was the Old Covenant. And this is the Old Covenant. He also says he hates divorce, but he divorced Israel.
Okay, Kim, okay.
Share some love with each other. Pray for one another.